All right, we're talking with Chris Hansen here. It's our weekly update on the sexting operation that he and True Blue Media and the Marquette County Sheriff's Department pulled off several weeks ago. We've had three of the episodes so far. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, what struck me about the last one is the guy was pretty combative. He argued with you almost the entire interview about tried to justify, that what you were doing was wrong. Pretty much.
Yeah, we see this occasionally in these sting operations, and it's a way for the potential predator, the alleged predator, to try to justify his actions. And they've thought about this going in, and they, in many cases, suspect that maybe it could be a setup or a sting operation, or it could be law enforcement or, you know, me and my team. And that's what happened here in the case of James Lee Peterson. And then when I asked him what was in his background, had he ever done this before, he said no. And then I said, well, what if I run your criminal background check? What if I was able to do that? What would it show? And then he came clean and said, well, he got in trouble with the law before for having sex with a 16-year-old girl when he was older. And he claimed it was a situation where he had a consensual relationship with a girlfriend who happened to be younger, and the parents got upset about it. But, you know, a criminal charge is a criminal charge. And, you know, he faced, prosecution for that. And here he was again, years later, in a house, attempting to meet a teen for sex.
You ever have any of them when you get there, Chris, and they just literally won't talk to you? I mean, I know it doesn't make for TV, so we probably wouldn't see it, but any of them just clam up the minute they see you and don't say a word?
They have done that. We had a case in a sting operation in Ohio earlier this year where a guy came in and he had two milkshakes, one for himself and one for the teen boy he wanted to meet for sex. He had driven to Ohio from Kentucky. And I walked out to talk to him, and he did this little act. Oh, I'm Chris Hansen, and tried to imitate me. And I said, okay, well, let's have a discussion now. And he was adamant and shaking his head and no, I'm not going to talk. And that happens from time to time. Frequently, it starts that way, and I'll, you know, try to get them to help me to understand what happened, why they're there. And I do have a somewhat empathetic approach because I do want to get inside their mind. Anybody can jump out of the bushes and startle somebody and get 10 seconds of dramatic video. My job is to get inside their head. And so to the extent that, you know, I can listen and really understand what had happened and why it happened, then oftentimes it results in a productive conversation. But yeah, every once in a while you get somebody who just won't talk.
So is it a coincidence that the movie Predator is on the TV in the sting operation?
That's a great question. In the setting up of the sting house, sometimes my crew will see some irony in putting that on the television monitor, or there'll be some pictures that look like family pictures, and sometimes you'll see a previous predator who's been caught in a sting in one of the frames. So it's kind of a tip of the hat to how they dress the set. Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's what I thought. Okay, so this next episode then that we're going to see here shortly, tell me about this one. What struck you about this one?
This one is interesting for a couple different reasons. This is a young man named Hunter who drove to the sting house from Gwynn, very close, you know, just literally minutes away from the sting house, which was set up in Gwynn Township. And he came there to meet a teenage boy. He was only 18 himself. Now, that's illegal, but it's a different sort of case. And when he walked in, he had a conversation with the decoy. He was all in and knew that the boy was underage, or the decoy was posing as a boy who was underage. And we had ascertained that he was 18. He tried to tell me a story about being 17, which would, you know, not necessarily be a crime. And I was very empathetic, and I wanted to hear the story. And he went on to tell me about how hard it was in a small town to be a young man who's gay and to find companionship in this way. And I said, are you sure you're 17? Absolutely. Swore up and down. I said, because if you're 17, this is going to be a different conversation than if you're 18. And I know that may seem like a small difference to you, but in the eyes of the law, it's a big difference. And he maintained he was 17. The law enforcement detective who was first to approach him asked for his ID, and he lied to me. He was 18. So now it's different. It's a different story. But I do handle these situations differently than I would for, you know, the previous predator who was 41, because I think when somebody who's 18, 19, or 20 even gets caught in this sort of investigation, I think they have a very good chance in some cases for treatment and understanding that what they did was wrong, and to be monitored for some period of time, and to even have this wiped off their record. And I think we need to, as a society, understand that these aren't always the same guy. But also we have to be very aware that it's not always a Romeo and Juliet situation either. This was a man of legal age who knowingly went to meet a teenager for sex. So, you know, is it as serious as the previous case with an older predator? Yes. Do you handle it differently? Yes. Is there a difference in the danger posed between an 18-year-old and a 38-year-old? No. The dangers are the same. The difference is, can this person be rehabilitated or made to understand what they did was wrong and never offend again? And that's a real issue that we're still wrestling with as a society. But as a journalist embedded in these operations, I do approach these younger potential predators much differently.
All right, so that'll be tomorrow. We'll be tuning in, and yeah, boy, it does run the gamut, doesn't it? You had seven people.
It sure does.
Seven
people ranging in age from, you know, 18 to 67, and you know, people drove a long way. And as you see these things play out, you'll see you'll see and hear the phone conversations between the decoy and the alleged predator. You'll see, obviously, the texting that goes on back and forth. In this case with Hunter, it was pretty brief and direct. You know, he knew exactly what he wanted, and he came over to get it. And he played the sympathy card, which, you know, only went so far.
Well, we'll see how far it goes in the episode tomorrow, then, on True Blue, and watch TrueBlue.com, correct?
Exactly, TRUBLU, and people will be able to check that out, as well as all the other predator investigations we've done, and all the other documentaries and investigative work and interviews that we've done in the crime realm.
Yeah, I suggest people look at the ones you did in Ohio. That was really disturbing. The guy who drove from Chicago down there, the daddy.
The daddy, man. Who was 71 years old, and, you know, the decoy was actually a female deputy with that sheriff's department in Montgomery County in Ohio. And he, just the way he eyed her and looked at her and talked to her, with her, I mean, it plays out in real time. I mean, you know that this was going to go down. Now, he may have claimed, and he did, that he knew this could have been a sting, but it, had it not been, there would have been the sexual assault of a child. No question.
And he had done it before, and he admitted it to you. So
yeah,
he admitted he
had done it with another 13-year-old girl.
That one creeped me out. I'm not going to kid you.
I watched it the other day to go over some things in the office for another documentary we're shooting related to it all. And it brought it back. It was almost like, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome. It brought me right back to the room and the conversation. It was quite something.
Well, Chris Hansen, thanks for your time. I know you got to run, so we're going to see the youngest of those seven in Marquette County then tomorrow.
Correct. And it's interesting in its own right, so I think people should we'll definitely get something out of it, as, you know, I hope they do from each one of these episodes.
All right. We'll talk again next week, sir.
Excellent. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Chris Hansen, everybody, from True Blue Media. And this is the Radio Results Network.